Gurudev says, turn your mind in devotion to the Lord. He will purify it and return it back to you. So that is the essence of meditation, where our mind is turned inward to the Lord's presence within all of us. And we'll talk a little more about that today. But so far, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has told us the technique of meditation, where to sit, when to sit, how to sit, what are the steps to take prior to meditation. And then he has also told us that doing the right kind of activity, doing karma yoga or service, purifies the mind, makes the mind still, and with a quiet mind, meditation is more beneficial, more fruitful. If the mind is running or agitated, then the person is not able to stay in that meditative state. And last week, Pankaj had covered the verse number 14, Prashantatma vigatbhihi brahmachari vratesthitaha manasamyam yamachitaha yukta asit matparaha. So he said the very first thing is prashant, the mind should be still, and vigatbhihi, and no fear, because otherwise people think, you know, if I go into samadhi and I don't come back, then what will happen to my wife and children? Who will take care of them if I just disappear? So that is not going to happen. You know, your mind will go into that silence, but then it will come back. And brahmachari, I'm sure he covered last week, is not only being celibate, because for us, that is good for sannyasis, but for us, Brahmacharya means moderation, living a life of moderation. And we'll talk more about that today. And the other higher meaning of Brahmachari is Brahmani Charati Iti Brahmachari. One whose mind always revels in God, in the Lord. He is a true Brahmachari. And then he says, Machitta, put your mind in me and make me your supreme goal. And that is actually our topic also for the children today in the assembly. So the Lord should be the supreme goal, and the mind should always be in the Lord. So here his instructions on the technique of meditation are complete in verse number 14. And verse number 15, he will talk about what is the result or the benefit of meditation. That will be covered in verse number 15, and then few other precautions will be given to us of what is necessary for a meditator. And not only for a meditator, for a spiritual seeker, for every one of us, these verses are beneficial. So verse number 15, chapter 6, verse number 15. Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyatmanasaha shantim nirvana paramam matsansthām adhigacchati. So verse number 15, it says, yunjan evam. Yunjan evam means in this way. Yunjan means balanced. Sada, all the time, atmanam, this mind should be balanced. Here atma means this individual's mind should be balanced. Sada, all the time. Yogi, so dhyan yogi, the meditator, niyat manasa, niyat means controlled, mind should be controlled and balanced. Sada, all the time. So you mean all the time I should be in meditation, 24 hours a day, I shouldn't eat food, I shouldn't, you know, take a shower, I shouldn't go to work. Sada, all the time. So Bhagavan will explain what he means by sada, always. And what is the result of meditation? What happens to a person who meditates regularly? Shantim nirvana paramam. Paramam means the supreme shanti, and nirvana. Nirvana was popularized by Buddha in Buddhism. So what is this nirvana? We'll talk about that. So he reaches the state of nirvana or supreme peace, and mad sansthan, abiding in me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, he abides in me, adigachati, he attains this state of shanti, nirvana. So balanced and controlled mind, and we know that not only even to be successful in the world, if I want to be a successful lawyer or a doctor or an engineer, my mind has to be balanced, has to be controlled. If I have extremes, whether you're a student or anywhere, you know, whether you're a housewife, one has to have the mind balanced and controlled, regulated. Mind cannot go fanciful. I'm sitting doing some work, even I'm cooking, and my mind goes somewhere else and the food gets burnt. You have to have attention. You have to have the mind controlled and balanced, not going too much in one extreme or too much in the other extreme, but focused on the job, what I'm doing at hand. And that is very important, a focused, balanced, regulated mind. When he says sada, that means should I always be in meditation? How can I always be in meditation? I'm supposed to cross the street and suddenly I go into meditation, car will come and hit me. So I cannot. So what Bhagavan Sri Krishna and Gurudev in his commentary explains, sada means that while I am sitting for meditation, 20 minutes or half an hour, that time sada, all the time my mind should be on that, on the Lord. Whether it's, we'll talk about whether it's form or formless, sagun or nirgun, Brahman, Brahma, but the mind should be constantly, and the mind will wander. So that is the practice of meditation, to bring it back. Or even when we are doing puja, you know, I'm offering, I'm saying Ram, 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 and then I'm saying Rama Krishna, you know. Last week he borrowed $100. I hope he returns it. You know, he never. So mind immediately runs. So you should be focused on what you are doing at hand. So while I am meditating, my mind should be focused. And throughout the day, as often as possible, remember the Lord. And remember God as within. So and anything, any opportunity you have, you are waiting at a traffic light, just close your eyes for a second and just see God is with me. When you're doing something mechanical on a treadmill or elliptical, or where you're just going for a walk, you can see the nature and see God everywhere and then see God within. So as more and more you can be, feel the Lord's presence inside and outside, to that extent your mind will become calmer, will become more peaceful. And then the result is shanti. Shanti is peace. Is, you know, there is a lot of peace. For example, there is peace in the world, you know, when there is a war or a conflict going on, and then the UN goes and separates the two sides, and then they say that is a peace, but that is a temporary truce. The moment the troops are withdrawn, they start fighting again. But this peace that this meditator experiences, Gurudev describes as peace that passeth all understanding. That's what Jesus also said, peace that passeth all understanding. So that peace, which is not of this world, it is not something you can describe or experience. It is an inner experience that cannot be put into words, and that cannot be, nothing in the world can equal that. Whether you, whatever joy you get, whatever peace you get, you're very hungry, and you have a good meal, or you have some ice cream, or you want, or you buy a new dress, or a piece of jewelry, or a new car, or a new house, they will all give you temporary joy and temporary peace. But that permanent nirvana, that peace, it will not be experienced. And even if it is experienced, when people sit for meditation and for a while your mind becomes quiet, and then your mind is not used to that. My mind is running and racing all the time, disturbed. So this reminds me of a beautiful story. So there were these two friends. One lived in the village and another one lived in the city. But his house in the city was by the airport. And as you know, in India, airport, all flights land at night. So 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know, gone. So this man from the village visits his friend in the city, and he spends the night there. And next morning, you know, he looks horrible. He said, "What happened to you?" He said, "I couldn't sleep a minute. The moment my eyes would doze off, I hear a plane, and I didn't sleep all night. It's horrible. How do you sleep? How can you sleep in so much noise?" He said, "Yeah, in the beginning, we also had the problem, but we got used to it. Now, plane noise doesn't bother us. We can sleep." So, okay, I understand. So after a few weeks, the man from the city visits his friend in the village, and he wakes up in the morning, and the friend says, "What happened?" The man from the city said, "I couldn't sleep at all." He said, "What? You couldn't sleep at all?" He said, "It was too quiet. I'm not used to the silence. We like the noise." So that's what our mind is. Our mind is so used to agitation and disturbance that when we experience that temporary peace, we say, "Oh, this is something strange." And then immediately the mind immediately runs, because the mind is so used to racing from one to the other. And if the mind doesn't run, we do, you know, pick up a phone and just start. I have nothing to do, nothing important, but just we like to keep our mind busy. But they say, spend some time doing nothing. I just actually went to Chicago, and I went and met Swamiji. And the first thing he did after saying Hari Om, he just sat me down. He's such a saintly person. He said, "Every day sit and contemplate for 10-15 minutes. Who am I?" I don't know from where he, it was like, you know, words of wisdom just flowed from him. He probably could sense that this is something I need. He said, "Sit down for 10 minutes and say, how can I, am I this body or am I Brahman? If I am this body, how can I be this body? Because body is something I know. And what I know, I am not. Like I know this glass, I am not this glass. I know the car, I am not the car. When I know the body, then I cannot be the body, I am the knower. And plus the owner cannot be the same. Like if I own a house, I am not the house. So similarly, when I own this body, this is my body, then I cannot be this body. So every day spend 5 or 10 minutes, just sit in silence and do nothing. Just contemplate 20 minutes if you can, if there's much time. And then sit all alone and do that, besides your morning meditation. But in the evening, take out a few minutes just to be with yourself. If you can be in nature, in your backyard, that's very good. If it's cold, you know, in your own room, doesn't matter. But just being with myself and contemplating, who am I? You say, "Oh, I am Brahman." You know, I've already heard that. Bhagavan already told in the second chapter. You know, this is sixth chapter. I know I'm Brahman. I know I am Brahman. That's intellectual knowledge. It's called Viparit Bhavna. I know I am Brahman. It's just an intellectual knowledge. Actually, I think I am the body. I am the body, and in this body, there is something called Brahman. You know, there's some little soul or consciousness. But in reality, everything is Brahman, and this body is just an appearance. So that constant understanding should become so firm. Like right now, somebody wakes you up. Are you a man or a woman? You say, "Wait, let me go and look in the mirror. Am I a man or a woman?" No, we don't do that. I know. As soon as I wake up, I know. So similarly, when somebody wakes you up and you says, "Are you a man or a woman?" You should say, "I am Brahman." That firm understanding, that is called Nirvana. Shantim Nirvana Paramam. Nirvana is the word which means no flame. In Buddhism, they use this a lot. And vana means flame, nirvana means no flame. So what it means is there is no flame of desire. There is no desire, a state of desirelessness where this person is complete within himself. If something is there, it is fine. It is not there, it is still fine. I do not need anything to complete me. So that wisdom, when it comes, that complete understanding, that's what Buddha described as the state of Nirvana. And Paramam, and it is the highest state, the state of consciousness. If there are any new people, I'll just quickly go over. I think there are one or two new people. I'll just go over this chart. So it's called the BMI chart, body, mind, and intellect. These are my three equipments. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. and V represents vasanas or my tendencies, and Om represents God's presence, the Brahman that is within us. This peace is that in which there is no suffering. Because suffering comes when I have desires, when I want something and I don't get it, that is when suffering comes. And when I get it, it's a temporary cessation of suffering. But this constant abidance in that peaceful state is what all these Mahatmas experience, and which you and I can also accomplish through right knowledge and through practicing the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, this mind should be controlled. What it means that mind should be controlled, that means the intake, we'll talk a little more in detail next week, the next shloka, but all the sense pleasures as they come into the mind, through the eyes, through the nose, through the ears, should all be regulated, because the mind that is overindulging in the world and just working constantly to acquire, suffer. That is suffering. When the mind is quiet, content, that is peace. And what happens? Mad samstham adhi gacchati, Bhagavan Krishna says, abides in me, becomes one with me. So does that mean that there are two entities, that there is me and then there is Lord Krishna, and then when my mind becomes still, I become? No. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the teaching is it's a non-dual. It is a non-dual self. Brahman alone is everything. So everything in my body is the manifestation of Brahman. Everything in the universe is Brahman. But the distance is because of our misunderstanding. Because I think God is somewhere far away, and after meditation, after years of sitting in the, in a cave in the Himalayas, in the snow, then I will experience that, and then Bhagwan will appear and he will say, child, ask what you want. And I'll say, Bhagwan, I want nothing. I have seen you, that is enough. No, Bhagwan is always with us. It is a non-dual self. But when the mind becomes completely still, and when can the mind become still? When the vasanas are reduced. So that's what even a previous verse said, aparigraha. So this desire to acquire, possess, on and on, does not mean that one should not have possessions, but the thirst that I must possess more and more will disturb the mind, and such a mind cannot be at peace. And then they say, should we meditate on sagun or nirgun? That means form or formless. Should I meditate on form of Sri Krishna or Lord Shiva or Lord Jesus Christ? Or should I meditate on the formless, all-pervading reality? It depends on your mind, depends on your interest. For most of us, it is difficult to meditate on the formless Brahman. So you start by meditating on a form, whatever your favorite form is, Sri Krishna or Mother Saraswati or Durga or Shiva or Ganeshji or Jesus. Whatever form connects most with you, that form, and then you say that form is, so God is not only limited to that form, but all forms are that. So you respect every other form of God, and ultimately everything is that. So that same, that's why in the 11th chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna shows that in his form, the entire universe Arjun could see, not only the universe here, but the heavens and the hells and the past, present, future. So the idea being that in that one consciousness, everything exists. And it is a gradual process. So they say, like, for example, you are far away from the fireplace and you feel very cold because the heating is gone. PG&E has shut off the electricity. So it's very cold. So then you go and move closer to the fire. As you move closer to the fire, you feel the warmth. And ultimately, you're very close and you are enveloped in that heat, in that comfort. So similarly, as you progress in meditation, initially you'll feel little whiffs of joy, little bit. But as you progress more and more, you will feel more and more joy, more and more peace. That's why meditation is the fastest way to progress spiritually. So if you are not meditating, please start meditating every day. We do have a lot of beautiful books in the office on meditation, small, small booklets which describe it. And then if you would like online, if you go to firstpower.info, somebody was asking, you can, we have video on meditation, what, why, when, where, how. Tony is the one who maintains that website. So we have a video on meditation, what, why, when, where, how, all the steps. And then also there are some guided meditations that you can practice. There's meditation on Om, on the form of God, on nature, on breath, on different being a witness, Sakshi. So different techniques are also given and you can pick and choose and see which one works. But regular meditation is very beneficial. I try it every morning, at least not every, at least an hour, or try at least an hour, maybe half an hour to an hour. Every morning I have been meditating personally since 1995, since I learned from Swamiji, and I feel that it has helped me a lot. We'll talk about the benefits more of meditation in the next couple of shlokas. So having now, if we are convinced that meditation is good for us, then there are certain precautions that Bhagavan tells us that we should follow that are necessary for a meditator and for a spiritual seeker. If I'm on the path of truth, these precautions are in the next two verses, what one should follow.